Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Benwick and Steve Lurkwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. I'm your host, Teague Benwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Steve Lurkwin. Steve, great to be here.
Hey, pumped to be here as well. You know, Teague, I was thinking about it. Everybody looks forward to certain things, hump day, Friday, all that kind of stuff. I get pumped this time of year. We get two times a week, and I get to do podcasts no matter how long my day is at school, what any kid, you know, I work with some pretty rough kids as a special education teacher, and they can't say anything bad to me on these particular days because I know that I'm coming home and I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, man, on podcast day, I wake up and that's basically like all I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Like I said, at the intro, the D21, with the brilliant coach, I said, it's fun to study these teams and get to know these kids because you start to feel like, man, I remember that kid's name. I know that kid. You go to a tournament or you watch sectionals or look them up on track wrestling and you start to feel like, hey, these are kids that I know well, even though you've never actually seen them or met them.
You get a vested interest in pretty much every regional in some way, shape or form.
Right on.
It's my favorite. I'm going out like regional Saturday, looking at all 48 regional results. That might be one of my favorite nights.
My wife doesn't like it, but you know,
See, Steve, that's why I don't get married. That's the only reason.
It's worth it. But I'm just saying is that, you know, there's my wife and I, we've been married 22 years now it is. And I think she just kind of, there's certain times a year where she just understands it's like, okay, just leave Steve alone. You know, some guys go away for a whole week at a time for buck or for deer hunting. When it's state tournament time or sectional time, it's like, okay, just don't talk to Steve.
The other 90% of the time, we know who's calling the shots in the house though.
That's all right.
It's good balance. All right. Well, I suppose we should get to introducing our guest now. Very excited to have him on. He did wrestle at Waterloo, so a little connection to Steve there. This is his second year coaching at Stratford. He is the head coach of Stratford. I'm talking about none other than Adam Davison. Adam, glad to have you on.
Thanks, guys. Super excited to be here. You know, you talk about your wife's getting frustrated during the state season and the regional nights. It's about the same with me. My wife is frustrated that I'm doing yet another thing for coaching even before season starts. And then like at the regional night, like regionals and sectionals, waiting to see like the results when they come in, except especially like sectionals going down to state, waiting to see like, okay, who did we get paired with? Who are we wrestling right away? I think she gets sick of watching me click the refresh button on the computer over and over and over again. So totally relate to that.
The screen time on those Saturdays is ridiculous. That's for sure.
Phone battery on the bus ride back home from sectionals is oftentimes waning by the time we get back home. We're waiting for all those results to come in.
Hanging by a thread.
You know, it's funny you say that, Adam, because you and Teague are approximately the same age. I think you got Teague by a couple of years, but it's so funny now that with track wrestling and everything, when I was in high school back in, you know, before electricity was even invented, we didn't find out the state results, I think, till late Sunday, early Monday. And now it's crazy that after sectionals is done, I mean, it's people are already on the forum. Hey, when are the results or when are they coming out? It's 30 minutes after the tournament. And people are all freaking out. And just how quickly they get that out now is just unbelievable.
Yeah. And then if I'm always on the bus when it comes out, so I'm flying down the bus going, okay, here's my state qualifier. Okay. Who did we draw? Okay. Well, hey, we got this kid. Here's our draw. And here's where the stud is in the bracket. Look, he's on the other side. We're good to go. We don't get him to the final. So you're all pumped about where your draw is. Or, oh, we drew the one seed where the kid we think is the one seed in the first round. Like, all right, let's beat him. Let's see what we can do there. But you're always so pumped.
You're already game planning.
Start to come out. Oh, it starts to be like Saturday night. You're already like game planning, thinking, okay, can I get film on this kid from somebody? Or do I know a coach that wrestled this kid? Yeah. It's crazy. It's so much fun. It's my favorite time of year.
Yeah, no rest for the weary. I said you're already done. You don't even celebrate. Just already on to the next thing. All right, what do we got? Who do we got?
It's a week long or 2 week long adrenaline rush. And then the Sunday after state or team state, I think I have not failed to take like a 3 to 4 hour nap on those Sundays. It's like everything finally comes back down to reality. All right. So the first regional that we have here, we are talking about, of course, sectional B tonight, Stratford, of course, one of the big moves in the state, making the move back to this sectional. We are going to be talking about the Coleman regional first, and alphabetically, just how it goes, we have Coleman up first here. They were first in the Lena regional with 304 and a half points. I think the first team we talked about that broke the 300 mark. At Team State, they beat Cadott 46-18 and then lost to Mineral Point in an absolute classic, 33-32 in the finals. From that team, they do return 11 of their 14 starters and 229 points. While they do lose Tyler Blanchard and Spencer Carbon, who placed third at 170 and heavyweight respectively, to bring in quite a bit back. They have Ray Lemieux coming back, who placed sixth at 113. Carson Casper, who was a runner-up at 145, state champ the year before. And they also have Cameron Kimmel and Brody Zahn returning, who placed third at sectionals.
I mean, you look at this team, and this is crazy. Like, you're a team that literally almost upsets Mineral Point, who, when people asked me last year, like, hey, who do you think is going to win Team State after we knew where we were going? I was like, man, Mineral Point has a lot of seniors and upperclassmen. They're like, they're going to be really tough. I thought that would be my favorite. And then the fact that Coleman wrestled them that tight and it came down to the last match, and then they're returning not the entire lineup, but almost the whole lineup. Like, that is, that team is going to be scary good again this year. Again, you lose three starters from a team that broke the 300 mark at regionals, sent 13 kids to sectionals, I think, last year, which is just insane. Like, all but like the 126, I think, is the only kid that didn't make it. Like, that's crazy. So that's like, Coleman obviously is going to be really tough for anybody to stay wrestle this year. Just with what they're returning is just crazy. I mean, Carbon was really good at heavyweight. That kid was impressive. It wasn't just like watching two big guys lean on each other. Carbon could move. And we wrestled Blanchard pretty tight last year. Our 170-pounder wrestled him at state, I think, in the second round. We lost by a few points, but it was a good match. The kid's good. So two losses, but I'm sure they've got some kids coming through the pipeline that are going to help them just keep the tradition humming right along.
And I'm sure with those three guys that they're losing, they probably have three people waiting in the wings too that are going to fill those spots just fine. The next team up here is Crandon. And I've been hearing a little buzz about Crandon so far. They were first in the Three Lakes Phelps Regional with 203 points, returning 11 of their starters and 187 of those points. They do lose Hudson Kane, who was a state qualifier at 120. But they have Elias Glinski coming back, who made state at 106. They also have Cole Shepard, who placed third at sectionals, and a couple more wrestlers who placed at sectionals. And I have some connections, some family in Crandon, so I see a lot of Crandon stuff on Facebook. And it just seems like they have a really good youth program right now. And I think we're starting to see that success start to translate at the high school level a little more for them.
You know, and you hit it. They're only losing one kid. They have some good talent coming back, but congratulations, you switched regionals and you draw Coleman right away. Like, I think they'd be a team that I'd be pretty excited about in a lot of other regionals. And again, I don't want to shoot Crandon down. I think they've got some good things going for, like you talked about, they have a good youth program. They had some good individual success last year, but hey, congratulations, up and coming program. Here's Coleman in your regional. So I guess you're going to need to score more than the 203 points to take first against Coleman, I think, in a regional competition. But yeah, obviously that's a good team. With a lot going for it. So I'm excited to see what they do with it, some of their individuals and how they pulled up against Coleman at that regional.
Moving on to Krivitz, who was fifth in the Lena regional. We have teams from three different regionals, I think, in this one. Yeah. Krivitz was fifth in the Lena regional with 53 points. They return five of their starters, and they'll be led by Skylar Johnson and TJ Mueller, who plays third at regionals. Next team on the list here is Elko, who was fifth in the Three Lakes Phelps regional with 74 and a half points. They return at two of their starters and 24 and a half points, and they'll be led by returning sectional qualifier Austin Blacius.
So what I thought was kind of interesting when I was looking at Elko's numbers from last year, they only had like five kids, I think, in their track profile who skinfolded, but I think they had three sectional qualifiers. So, I mean, three of your five kids were at least good enough to get to sectional. So that was kind of cool. I wish they had more numbers to kind of back that. I don't know a ton else about their program, but the fact that Blasius is a pretty good kid from what I've gathered from some of his results from last year. So I'm hoping maybe this year that success can get some more numbers out. Like, look, we're getting guys through. Let's see if we can take this thing to the next step.
And Teague, I said this story last year. You talked about numbers. The first year that they went to the team sectional, Elko qualified for that. We had to go wrestle for them. So Elko does have a history. They had full team. They had, you know, extra wrestlers to kind of fill spots. They did some jockeying around. And, you know, that was back when I wrestled for Wrightstown, and Elko beat us first round. So Elko has a history of having those numbers and having a good solid team. So excited to get them some stuff going at the youth, and pretty soon with that history on your side, you get back there.
Moving on to the next team, Florence Niagara. So last year they were in Division II. I think they were also a co-op with Goodman and Pembine. They were sixth in the O'Connell Falls Regional, and they are returning their lone starter, Ander Olson. And the last team we have in this regional, we have some questions on the co-op situation last year, but we have Wabino Leona Three Lakes, who last year there was two teams entered into the regional. There was Three Lakes Phelps, and then there was Wabino Leona Three Lakes. So if someone has any answers on that, feel free to clear that up for me. Even I'm sure it might just be an error on Track Wrestling. But just to give the rundown of both teams, Wabino Leona placed sixth in this regional with 47 points. They return all three of their starters. Three Lakes Phelps finished third in the regional with 96 points. They return four of their starters and 76 of those points. A couple of guys from both of these teams. They have Pearson Stablinski, who placed fourth at sectionals, and Ryan Roy, who placed fifth at 160. He's had a pretty impressive start to his young career so far.
Yeah, that's the thing that impressed me most is, Roy, I got a chance to watch him a little bit, state tournament. And, you know, for being a sophomore wrestling 160, that's not an easy class. There's usually a lot of pretty well-built kids in that class. And to medal as a sophomore at 160, I was impressed with that. That kid's good. Hopefully get a chance to watch him a little bit down the stretch this year too. But it definitely seems to be proud of as a sophomore.
All right, rolling through this one. We are already on our first set of team predictions. You're up first.
Teague, I know I like to give analysis here and kind of build a few teams up, but I'm just going to give my pick. I'm going to go with Coleman. No upset picks here. No, calling a worst to first, anything like that. I got to go with Coleman.
Yeah, I'm gonna also go with Coleman on this one. I think they could maybe break 300 points again. I think Adam brings up a good point about Crandon being an up-and-coming team as well. And while I think Coleman's going to win, could be a good stepping stone for Crandon to end up with 200, 220 points and kind of get them closer to building towards being Coleman's level.
And we talked about this a lot of podcasts, but even the one we did on Monday night, that as a coach, if you're trying to build that program and you have a Coleman or a Stratford in your regional or a conference, whatever it is, you got to embrace that. You got to say, hey, listen, we can't just, oh man, we have Coleman or we have this powerhouse program. We got to embrace it and say, man, we got to try to do what it takes to reach their level and start competing with them. That's going to make everybody better.
Nothing but good things for the sport in that situation. Next regional up here, we have Lena, and mostly teams from the Lena regional last year. There is one newcomer that's switched over from the Three Lakes Phelps regional. Getting in first here, we have Bonduel, who placed third in this regional with 135 points. They return four of their starters and 56 points. They do lose Max Sokolsky, who placed fourth at 152 at state, but they have Tyson Bogas coming back, who placed sixth at 145, and also Parker Perry, who placed third at regionals. It seems like Bonduel, like I said, my wrestling knowledge goes back to like 2009. Seems like you can always count on Bonduel having like two to three guys wrestling, you know, in the semis or the finals at state every year.
About the only thing I looked and I was shocked that their numbers were as far down as they were last year. Cause I can remember it wasn't that long ago that Bonduel was like a legitimate threat to be like a team state level team. I was shocked to see where their numbers are. Like it's a pretty good historic program. They've always got kids that are wrestling hard down at Madison. So I was a little shocked by that. I'm hoping maybe they've got some good youth and middle school numbers coming up. Cause I'd love to see that team kind of, be a big factor in Division III again. I just, that's a program I've got a lot of respect for. I had a job interview once when I was much younger in my 20s at Bonduelle. And I wish at the time I really wanted it because I wanted to be a part of that program. So I'm hoping they can they'll rebound and eventually, you know, come back to kind of who they were.
Yeah, Tyson. You mentioned Tyson. He was injured. Must have got injured in the consolation semi, so he wasn't able to compete past that. Adam, you talked about 1998. They were in team state champions. So I think they were the runner up, if I remember right, the year before. And Teague, this is not your trivia question, but their mascot is
the Bonduelle Raiders.
No, they're the Bears, and I bring that up because I think now there's the Hortonville Polar Bears, but Adam and Teague, I can't think of any other Wisconsin high school team that has the mascot.
Got one for you.
What do you got?
Baron
Bears, are they? Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
I think it's the Golden Bears, but it's the Baron Bears.
Not just the straight up Bears. So, but as far as you know, Bonduelle is the only straight up Bears. I mean, and maybe that has a lot to do with when high schools were forming and they knew that south of the border there in Illinois, there was a mascot of the Bears, and maybe other schools just want to stay away from that. I'm not quite sure.
From now on, whenever you have me guess a team name, I'm just going to go with alliteration. I feel like that's the best way to go.
Wow, T, that's right. You're the English guy, aren't you? Bonduelle Bears. No, that's an alliteration. That's pretty tough.
I looked it up. I was right. It is in fact the Baron Golden Bears, and I should know that because I spent 4 years at Bloomer Colfax in the heart of the North, and they were in our conference, so I shouldn't have even second guessed myself. But it is in fact the Baron Golden Bears.
Hey, if anybody's out there and they know another school mascot with just the straight up Bears. Obviously we know the polar bears and the golden bears. You said any straight up Bears, let us know.
Next team up here is Alina, who was fourth in the regional with 134.5 points. They return 9 of their starters and 102 points. They'll be led by Dylan Cummins, who was a state qualifier at 106, Sam Marquardt, who placed 6th at sectionals, and also Jaden Belongia, who was a sectional qualifier.
Lena is another one of those teams where, yeah, they didn't have the greatest numbers of last year, but they're returning most of their team, and they had some really good talent. So again, if they have a really good incoming freshman class, this could be another team that could kind of step up here a little bit and maybe do something in this regional. Again, I don't know what their numbers look like from last year in the middle school. We don't ever see Lena anywhere, but you know, they've got some talent coming back to this team. They took 4th last year, and if they get some better numbers and those kids all take a step forward, this team could be good.
Hey, I got an answer for that. I was doing a little nosing around some Facebook pages and stuff, and I saw that Lena does have pretty good numbers at their youth. I didn't count them all, but they got a team picture up there, their youth program. Pretty full picture there, so I'm pumped for them. I think Lena's one of those teams on the rise. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but they did have he didn't wrestle last year. I don't know. I'm not going to say because I don't know where he's at, but they had a state qualifier that was a freshman. I don't know if he was injured last year. He comes back. You add that to the what would they have coming. And I was looking around too. They as a group, the high school kids, went to the Melichek team camp as well. So they got some good stuff going up there in Lena.
Moving on to Oconto, who was 7th in the regional. They returned both of their starters in Dominic Saylor, who placed 6th, and Aiden Diaz, who placed 4th. Next team up is Oneida Nation, another team that we have questions on. They didn't wrestle at regionals last year. I did see that they had 3 seniors in their 2020 regional lineup, so I don't know if they would have had a team last year, regardless of the context of the season. But just hope to see them, you know, get more numbers back and get a program rolling again. Next team up, and Adam, I think you said the proper pronunciation of this before, so if I say this name wrong, let me know. But we have Searing Gillette, who plays 6th in the Lena regional with 27 points. They return 3 of their starters in Keegan Ratton, Carter Wisman, and Trent Vandenelsen, who all placed 4th at regionals. All right, don't give me the thumbs down, Steve.
Adam, before you correct him, I grew up in that area. So it's, you know, Teague will say names and things like that. And I'm like, Teague, what are you doing? You can't be calling teams this stuff. And I correct him all the time. So go ahead, Adam. What do you got? Correct him.
See, he was pretty close to how I would have said it. I would have said Gillette Searing because that's how it's listed on mine. But I, what is the correct pronunciation? Gillette Searing.
Gillette Searing. Yep.
So we were wrong on that. Pretty much everything across the board. Hey, good,
you,
good job.
You Southerners, man. I tell you what, Adam's from Waterloo, southern part of the state. You got to give him, you know, it's a culture thing, right?
So Gillette Searing.
Gillette Searing.
As we talked about before, like I was at the southern part of the state, east of Madison, and then I went to Mayville. So over a little bit closer to like the, you know, Green Bay, Fond du Lac area, but not that far. And then I went to Bloomer Colfax, and now I'm in the middle of the state. So I haven't worked my way that far to the east yet where I can kind of get all of the lingo at one time. So I'm trying, but you got to give me more time. I'm only 30. I got to do some more traveling around the state, I guess, before we get there. But I do have to give Gillette Searing. Is that right now, Steve?
You bet.
I do have to give them a shout out.
Not so much emphasis on the L. It's just Gillette. You know, you guys are doing a little Gillette. It's Gillette and then just Searing. You got to be a little bit more lazy with the tongue.
You know, I guess I don't know the last time that Teague saw a razor, but I'm just familiar with the razor company. So that's kind of where I go with everything. But that is where our team sectional is this year. So I'm super excited to hear that. I've heard they have a really nice gym. So it's kind of a smaller school district, but I've heard that the gym is really nice. So I'm looking forward to getting over there and seeing that. And then the people there can teach me how to correctly pronounce things as long as we're in the area.
Hey, that's what I'm here for you, buddy. And alumni of Gillette, Jeremy Krieger, I think, is still the coach up here. Great wrestler for them. He was a 2-time state place winner, I believe. And Gillette's always just had tough kids. They necessarily haven't always had the great numbers, but they just have kids that are just ripped, tough, ready to go, and they'll punch in the face, ready to scrap.
The last team in this regional is a Wittenberg Burnhamwood, who was the runner-ups in the Three Lake Phelps regional with 186 points. They return 8 of their 12 regional starters from last year and 107 points. They'll be led by David Gauderman, who placed 4th at state at 220. Andre Sanchez, who placed 4th at sectionals. And Pearson Petroikas, who placed 5th at sectionals but was a state qualifier as a freshman.
So as a Stratford guy, and I also help coach football, Wittenberg Burnhamwood, a little bit of a sore subject right now. They beat us at home on our own field. We narrowly beat them the year before in the playoffs, so they got us back. It was a tough game for us. But they have a heck of a wrestling program. They have some kids who are pretty impressive. Gauderman is a guy that, like, you look at him, he picked 4th at state last year. But look at whose 2 losses were to. He lost to Monsalovic from Cumberland, who is a grown man, and Teagles, who is super impressive. So, like, congratulations, you took 4th, but your 2 losses at state were to 2 dudes that there is absolutely no shame in losing to at all. So last year, I think they had 7 sectional qualifiers total, and they graduated 4 of them. So it's a little bit of a reload for them. I think they lost some of their bigger talent from last year, but they still have plenty left. And have good numbers in the program. So I think that Wittenberg Burnhamwood is a good team in that region.
And I was just looking at the rankings, Adam, for football. When did that just happen, where Stratford lost to Wittenberg?
Was that like 2-3 weeks ago now? Okay. Things are messed up. So we've had a couple games get COVIDed out here in the past. So it's the football season's kind of a mess, but it was a rough one. Their quarterback over at Wittenberg Burnhamwood is a pretty slippery kid, kind of creates havoc for us a little bit. So they're good. Hats off to them. Hopefully we get a shot at them in the playoffs later on in the year, and we can see if we can even that score.
Right, because that's what I was going to say. That must have propelled them. They're 10th in the state, but their record's 5-3, so they got 3 losses that win over a very tough Stratford school. Must have propelled them up.
Yeah, they're good.
All right, second set of predictions here.
Hey, that's first.
You. All right, so right away I went to numbers on this one. So that brings me right to Lena and Wittenberg Burnhamwood. I'm a little more familiar with Wittenberg Burnhamwood's just their history. And, you know, we already did talk about they are a strong program where they're able to consistently replace these guys. And they do seem like a good pick, but I feel like Lena's kind of a good dark horse pick as well. They have a few guys who are going to get the major points. And, you know, if they're able to fill those 3 spots, they can get a full 14 and you have 3 champs. I view that as like a good basis, at least for a good building block to win a regional title. So I'll go a little bit on the dark horse route here and take Lena.
Teague, I'm cringing over here because this was going to be, remember a couple podcasts ago where I picked Hayward out of left field and I said, hey, they're going to be the worst of first. I was kind of going then with that same route with Lena. I was maybe I gave up too much information before my insider trading route, but I'm going with Lena as well. I know that Wittenberg Burn was the, I think the on paper and historically speaking, probably the choice where you're thinking, oh, everybody's going to go with them. I think it's Lena's time. And I think that they're going to embrace that trip to team state, or I'm sorry, team sectionals. I apologize. And you know, it's going to be a tough road for them at that team sectional, but that's the thing. You got to have those building blocks as a program. And you might take your lumps there, but your boys get that feeling of what it's like to be at team sectional. And then that's a building block for that next year.
Yeah, I think it's fair to kind of call them the dark horse too. I think if you showed every Wisconsin wrestling fan our outline, like the information we have, I think a lot of people, like especially off of name, would probably choose Wittenberg Burnham would. So
correct.
I think either way, it's going to be I'm always a fan when there's a two or three team regional battle. The team races are the real fun thing to watch on regional day.
I totally thought you were going WB. So I was like, man, I love picking the upset. So what you, as you got the first pick and you started going that direction, I'm like, dang it. He's going to choose my dark horse. We both have a dark horse.
All right. Before we move on to the next regional, I want to talk to you for a second about our new partner, Mad Hooks. For the most part, we all know someone who either wears headbands or we are that person that wears headbands. As Adam said, I haven't seen any type of razor in a long time, so I kind of need something to keep this hair just from going everywhere. But Mad Hooks provides affordable, fashionable, non-slip headbands. And not only that, they also offer patterned line bags and keychains as well. Even if you don't wear headbands, these can make for a great present for someone. And there's over 80 patterns for everyone to enjoy. Believe me when I say you can't have just one of these. So when you make your purchase, you might as well go all in because you get free shipping on orders more than $30. Lastly, on the checkout page, make sure to type wrestler in the promo code and get 10% off of each purchase. So we'll have the link in each of our bios. Otherwise, go to madhooks.myshopify.com. And don't forget to use promo code wrestler at checkout. That's madhooks.myshopify.com, promo code wrestler for you Stratford faithful listening. And I know there's going to be plenty of Stratford faithful listening. Check out the orange and black tie-dye wrap. I feel like that'd be a pretty cool thing to wear at Stratford events. So yeah, be a little city plug there. Brings us into the next regional, the Auburndale regional. A little bit of movement in this one. We have teams from the Edgar regional last year. So those teams making the shift from that Northwest sectional. We have Pittsville coming in from the Southwest sectional. They were in the Cashton regional. And then a couple of teams from last year's Amherst regional. So starting off here, questionably Steve's favorite team, Athens, fifth in the Edgar regional with 38 points. They return all three of their starters and they'll be led by Brooks Kraus, who placed fourth at sectionals.
You know, a lot of this regional is in the Marrowwood conference with us here at Stratford. So I know a lot about a lot of these teams, and like Athens it's such a weird thing because for a long time, Athens was such a dominant program and their numbers are just hurting so bad. I don't remember where we were. It was for like a conference match. Maybe it was even regionals last year, but I was out in the entryway, which is a dangerous place to be in enemy territory. And I ran into a couple of Athens fans and they came up to me and you could just see like the want to see Athens be good again is there, but they don't have the numbers. It hurts. Like Brooks Kraus is a good wrestler. I have hopes that we can do some cool things this year, but you can just see like the fans, the Athens faithful want to see this team be really good again. And it's a numbers game. It's such a small school and they're just having problems getting the kids on the team and on the mat. So it's tough for them. I feel bad. I want to see Athens kind of be that team again. And you know, they're just not there right now. I know they've got some better youth numbers coming up. So I'm hopeful that in the future, maybe Athens could get back to being who they were.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Ellenbecker name. I was right as Adam finished. I'm like, shoot, I'm not going to find it. I don't know if it's his dad or not, but there's a Adam Ellenbecker from 1993 who I remember very well. He wrestled 189 pounds. He He was in the state finals, lost to Greg Anderson from Riverdale. I remember that match, but yeah, you're right. Athens got that history on their side. And I just mentioned the name only because that's a name from the past, back when Athens was a power.
I'm 95% sure the guy I talked to in the entryway was like Grandpa Ellenbecker too, because he introduced himself. I'm like, that's a heck of a last name. And he kind of explained, I think he has like a grandson or something on the team right now. But you could definitely see that the desire to see that team be good again is there. So, you know, hopefully they're able to rebound, because for a small school, it's cool to have a really good team.
And Adam, I know this was a little bit, Teague knows this because I've given him the history, but it was, I think it was 1992. If I remember right, they were ranked in the state, like Athens, right? The school of 200 and some kids, right? They were ranked nationally as one of the best teams in the country. So it's a lot of kids here
at Stratford, my wrestlers and my students, we talk about that like at least twice a month. It comes up when we're talking wrestling and we're talking like Marrowood. And they'll be like, dude, did you know that Athens was once ranked nationally? And I'm like, yeah, I did know that. And that's why, like, we just can't believe that where their program is right now. We want to see that. It's so cool to have like a little Athens, Wisconsin is nationally ranked. Like, are you kidding me? A town that size. So, again, hopefully, you know, they can find a way to rebuild that.
Yeah. I'll search for the article.
They're still there.
Yeah, they are. I'll search for the article, but I think they were second in the nation.
That's what the kids always tell me too, is they're pretty sure they were ranked second. I remember them being ranked. I remember that as being a thing. But the kids always tell me that I'm pretty sure it was like they were ranked number two in the country. And that's so impressive. If like Athens is not a big place, and for them to be that notable is that's simply amazing. Like the hats off to everybody that was involved in that.
Next team up here is Auburndale, who was fifth in the Amherst Regional with 85 points. They return four of their starters and 73 points. They do return Sloan Welch, who made the podium. He was fourth at 182, and a couple of sectional place winners in Noah Altman and Blake Thiel.
So I reached out to Coach Carl. Again, this is mostly my conference, so I know all his coaches pretty well. Even though it's only been a year, we talk to each other fairly frequently. So, you know, I reached out to Coach Carl, asked him, hey, you know, let me know what you know about your season, what you got for kids. And he's excited. He's excited about the quality of the kids he has. And I think, you know, you look at the kids you mentioned, Sloan Welch at 182 last year. We'll talk about him a little bit later on when we talk about the Stratford situation, because there's kind of a weird thing there we'll get to. But he's good. He's a solid wrestler, keeps himself out of danger, does a good job. Noah Altman actually wrestled really well at times last year, was pretty impressive. And Bryce Thiel took our 220-pounder, only beat him by one. He's good. He's a quality kid. But, you know, I was talking with Coach Carl, and he said, you know, they have a bunch of guys that have wrestling backgrounds wandering around the hallway that, you know, haven't wrestled and haven't committed yet, but he's hoping, you know, as football season winds down, that some of these kids, you know, will get the itch, because they really do have some quality kids. You know, they're returning Brett Thiel as well, who's going to be a sophomore, Jarvell Owens, who's going to be a junior. And then they have at least three incoming freshmen in Derek Goddard and Tanner Wargoski are two of them. I know Derek wrestled at Youth State last year. And then Colton Weiler is a kid who, he was an eighth grader last year. I know you love it when people name drop incoming freshmen, but this kid has a chance to be pretty impressive. He won Youth Folk State, Freestyle State, and Greco State last year. So this is a kid where, as a freshman, I'm not sure where he'll skinfold, what weight class will be, but somewhere in those lower weights in D3, Colton Weiler is a kid who is going to really impress some people. So they have a chance to have like three, four, five kids who will be sectional qualifiers or better on this roster. If they can manage to fill out the team a little bit, there is a serious chance that Auburndale will be a lot better than people think. If you look at, you know, fifth place in their own regional last year, but this team could take a big step forward if they can just get the numbers to support the quality of the kids they already have.
Moving on to Edgar, who was fourth in their regional with 52 points. They return five of their starters and 43 points, and they'll be led by a few wrestlers who placed third at regionals and a couple more who placed fourth at regionals. So, looks like they could be on a good track to at least getting a few guys at sectionals this year.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they only had a few kids out last year, but I reached out to Coach LoCasco, and he told me that they're expecting to have around 18 kids out this year. So they're going to see a big boost to their numbers. They have five kids who are freshmen, Austin Schreiber, Jace Applebeck, Dakota Allenbecker. So there's that Allenbecker name, and this one's an Edgar, but you know, maybe it's related, it's close enough up here. Fletcher Weiland and Corey Kopel, who they're excited to have in the program. They said all of them have youth wrestling and middle school wrestling experience, so they think that those kids could be a huge boost. Waylon Workus is a kid where he missed regionals last year. I think it was something COVID-related where he got quarantined. But he's a kid that their coach said before he graduates, he wants to be wrestling down in Madison. So that's a big deal. And there are other returners, you know, Jesse Gisco, Colin, I have no idea how to pronounce his last name, so I'm going to butcher it. But could you see something along those lines? Calvin Kingsley and Keegan Hartway are all kids that wrestled varsity matches last year. So they've got way more experience. And then the other thing that Coach LoCasco told me is they're pretty excited. Here's a name that you should recognize, but 220-pound state champion Ethan Heil is joining their coaching staff this year. So that should be a huge hit for them to have a guy like that in the room. He just did it. He literally won a state title wearing an Edgar singlet. So if you can't get excited coming into the room with a kid like that there, like, that should be a huge boost. So I'm really hopeful that that can help kind of bring Edgar back a little bit, because they were a little rough last year. They just didn't have the numbers, and I'm hoping that this is going to be a better year for them.
Well, you mentioned the state champs. I just looked this up, and I knew the number was higher. Here's a jaw dropper for you, Teague. Edgar has 21 individual state champs throughout their school history. I mean, they always have those studs. You know, those guys that just go down there and smoke it.
I couldn't pinpoint any names, but I know, like, when I started getting into wrestling, and like even through like the mid 2010s, I feel like they always had. Was there like a Lemansky or something, like a Devin Lemansky from Edgar? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like that name sticks out to me, but yeah, they do have a solid team. And it's good to hear that, you know, they're going to be a little more at full strength this year.
I don't know about Lemansky. LoCasco, maybe. Was that the name you were thinking about? Or they had LoCascos.
I think there was a Devin Lemansky that wrestled for Edgar.
What were you saying, Adam?
I don't know if he's still going to coach there, but another guy, he was an assistant there last year, was Sawyer Massey, who wrestled at UW Lacrosse, and he's an intense kid, younger coach for them, but he definitely brought, like, when they were warming up at meets, like, Massey would be, like, dressed in sweatpants and a t-shirt warming up with them, and then they'd get them warming up, you'd go run off to the locker room and come back and put on a coaching polo. So, like, you know, you can see the energy is there. I'm hoping with the improved numbers that they're going to really be able to take a step back, because, you know, Edgar used to be a pretty strong wrestling program. It would be great, to for the Merrillwood to have, you know, if Auburndale can bounce back, and if Edgar can be much more like relevant as a team, like, that would be really cool for this area to see kind of wrestling for D3 in the center part of the state be strong. Like, that would be cool.
I did. Yes, Massey. I remember watching him wrestle at Hudson too. That guy's an absolute tank.
Yeah, he's a stud. I watched him coach last year. I played rec league softball with him against the summer. So, like, he's a competitive dude, works hard. I don't know if he's still helping out this year. I don't know what he does for a living, but I know he was there last year, and he was definitely a benefit to that program.
Also, I can't believe how I pulled this off. I went to individual state results, clicked on 2015.
Yep.
At 170, senior Devin Lemansky, undefeated state champ.
Yep. Two-time state champ. Also, Kevin Cook from Edgar was a two-time state champ. Luke Nowak from Edgar, two-time state champ. I mean, they got, obviously there's so many of them, I can't even pop through them all, but that's right there, just three two-time state champs. And there's not a lot of schools can say that.
Luke Nowak was from Edgar. Is there another Luke Nowak from Iowa Grand High? All right, I'm going down the trail here. I'll reel myself back in. Moving on to Marathon here. Marathon finished third in the Edgar Regional with 144 points. They return seven of their starters in 130 points. They do lose state qualifier Jared Sweeno, but they'll be led by Hector Pinter, who will play third at sectionals, along with fifth place sectional qualifiers Dylan Dodson and Logan Werner.
And Adam, just jump in before you go. Here's what impresses me about Marathon is last year when Teague and I did this podcast, I remember it specifically and it just stuck out at me. They had one kid that we talked about in the preview, one kid on their team. And now you're taking a look at it. You know, they got that program up to eight kids in 1 year. And you know, who's who, you know, where are they going from here?
you know, Marathon is one of those teams too, where they've got some decent numbers in the middle school. And I think you could see them start to come along. So with Marathon, like, all of their kids kind of have the same thing going for them, where as a coach, we can be winning a match and I'm still uncomfortable. This team, they will Granby from literally any position that they possibly can. And when they're on their feet, they love to throw. So no matter what situation I'm in, I am never comfortable. Like, you brought up Jared Sweeney, as a kid who was a state ball fire last year. He was wrestling a kid at sectionals. I don't remember if it was the first round or the second round. He was losing 10 to nothing against the kid who was undefeated, and he Granby'd him and stuck him and pinned him. Nice. Like, and then he went on to win another match and go to state. You were down. I'm pretty sure it was round one. Like, you were literally facing elimination from your season, more than likely. And you stuck a kid at sectionals who was undefeated going in there. The kid was from Glenwood, I'm pretty sure, too. So that'll be interesting. But it was a huge moment. And with him being from our conference, like, me and half of my team are like Matt side watching this going, Sweeney just stuck that kid. No way. He was about to lose. Like, it was so cool. Sweeney had like a bad shoulder, so he was, you know, a little tore up. But he had worked hard. He'd been cutting weight really hard all year. And just to see him come through with that was just, it was a massive moment for him. Like, the hugs on the sideline after he qualified for state, like, you would have thought he just won sectionals. But he was just super pumped to finally hit that. And also, I believe he is now going to Stevens Point. I believe he's wrestling for the Pointers moving forward, too. So, hey, shout out to Jared Sweeney for continuing the tradition moving forward. But Hector Pinter is that same way. On his feet, he will throw you from any position he can, and it's not a comfortable matchup. He wrestled Logan Reith from Stratford here a couple times last year, and even though we were controlling the match, I never felt comfortable. And a lot of that, you know, you want to talk about people with multiple state championships. How about the coach at Marathon, Coach Underwood? He's the real deal. He knows what he's doing, and he definitely gets a lot out of these kids. So, you know, if they can just get their numbers to keep coming up, they definitely have a coach that knows what he's doing, and the kids seem to like him. I have a lot of hope and a lot of fears about what happens as that program starts to come along a little bit.
Moving on to Pittsville here, the center of Wisconsin, mind you, fifth in the Cashton Regional with 129 points. They return six of their eight starters and 91 points. They do lose Cameron Damon, who was a state qualifier at 145, but they return Easton Damon, who plays sixth at sectionals, along with sectional qualifiers Dryden Luther and Landon Lasiski. And the last team in this regional.
Real quick, I'll say this. Obviously, Adam just mentioned Craig Underwood, who is the second four-time state champ, and obviously the first from Pittsville, four-time state champ, Matt Hanuki. Just thought I'd throw that out there because, you know, it's kind of neat that in the same minute, we're mentioning the first two four-time state champs from the state of Wisconsin.
The last team that we have in this regional is Stratford, who was second in the Edgar Regional with 257.5 points. They return 11 of their 14 starters and 193.5 points. While they do lose Jacob Hayden, who plays fifth at state at 152, and Logan Reith, who also plays fifth at 170, they have a lot coming back. They have Gavin Drexler, who was a state champ at 138 last year, has two state titles to his name now. Elijah Lucio, who plays fifth at 145. Raif Smart, who was a runner-up at 195. They also have Ryan Becker coming back, who plays fourth at sectionals. And I'm sure there's plenty more names I could talk about, but we'll let the subject matter expert in the podcast talk about this one. The floor is all yours, Adam.
Man, anybody that doesn't like hearing about Stratford wrestling, now might be the time to take a break from the podcast and go get a drink of water and come back. I could talk about this team for a long time. So first of all, I do have to give a slight correction. It's Rafe Smart. He would be upset with me if I didn't correct that, because we get everything at every tournament from Raffy to Reefy to it's Rafe. So just for future reasons and for bi-state reasons, because we will be at bi-state this year, we should know that, because hopefully he's wrestling at some relevant matches there. Definitely has the talent to be. You look at what we have listed as returners on our little sheet, and it's everybody knows Gavin Drexler, and like, love the kid to death. It's great when like a kid who's a two-time state champion working his way towards three is also like the hardest worker on your team. Like, you're not going to outwork this kid. He wrestles year round. He wrestles hard every time we're at practice. He's in the gym constantly. I run into him there all the time. It's great. The kid is just an animal, and he does things the right way. Super excited for him this year and moving forward. You know, he's off to NDSU after this season, so that's going to be cool to watch him take it to the next level, going D1. And, you know, anytime you get a kid from a D3 wrestling school in Wisconsin going to a D1 program, like, you know the kid is pretty legit. So that's super excited for him there. You know, Eli Lucio is another kid where, you know, this kid's I don't think he knows how good he really is yet. You know, he lost a season of wrestling due to injury. And then he, you know, the Stratford team a couple of years ago was pretty loaded. So he had to bump up like two classes to find a varsity spot. This kid has a ton of potential, and he's a name to keep an eye on throughout the year. And same thing, you know, Rafe took second last year to Joel's, and there is absolutely no shame in losing to Brett Joel's, because that kid, man, if I had half of that kid's athleticism, I would be blessed beyond my wildest dreams, because that kid was pretty special to watch. So he was fun. You know, and the other kid that's listed on here is Ryan Becker, who took fourth at sectionals wrestling at 160 pounds. Keeping in mind, Ryan Becker skin folded for 132. And
oh,
wrestling as a 138 pounder or a 45 pounder. It was one of those things where Jake Hayden, who took fifth for us last year at state of 152, finally came down, and we had an opening at 60. And I went to Becker and I said, "Hey, you should consider wrestling off for it, giving it a shot." And he did it. And yeah, a little underpowered when you're giving up that much weight, but he works hard, and Becker's a good kid. He's a kid that, you know, we're going to be pretty stout in the middle again, but if he finds his way onto our starting 14, even if he doesn't, he's going to have something to say about this. Jackson Ormond is a kid I want to throw out there. He wrestled 182 for us last year. He was undefeated going into sectionals, and then just did not wrestle well at sectionals, and that happens. You'll get that. Shout out to the kid, but he wrestled a kid from St. Croix Fall, Nicholas Bergman, that he wrestled. Took him down with the same shot three times within about 2 minutes. And as a coach, I'm sitting there in the corner just going, "We've seen this before. Like, it's the same shot, same setup. That you were flat-footed all three times." And he came off and he said, "Coach, I choked today." That's, as a sophomore, he owned up to that he was not ready to wrestle on the big stage yet. So we're super excited for him coming into the year. You talk about teams and seniors. We're going to have, last time I counted, I have 12 seniors who are coming out for wrestling this year.
Nice.
We picked up a couple of kids who, I have twin brothers, the Kirsches. They did not wrestle last year, but they wrestled the year before, mostly as like JV and varsity reserve, but also playing some roles in duels. One of the Kirsches, Gavin, he wrestled at team sectionals, and he lost a 4-point match to Cole Marco. That's a good kid. If you can send a kid out there who's a backup on that team and can hold his own and get not majored at team sectionals by Marco, that's a solid kid. And then the other Kirsch, Dylan, he beat Colton Tesserick from Michicot like 8-3 or something. And the first time I saw that, I was like, you almost majored him. He was a 3-time state qualifier. And he goes, "Coach, I had another takedown. The official didn't give me." Like, it was not a big deal. It was like, I should have beat him by more than that. Sure. But you know, sometimes that happens if you just have a team with a really strong lineup. You just have quality kids that just can't find their way into it. You look at Logan Reith last year. He was a JV wrestler for 3 years plus. He never would have cracked our varsity lineup last year. He lost the wrestle off to Jackson Ormond at 182, and then just hung around, and we lost Hunter Ford. Hunter Ford beat Mason Haas from Amherst head-to-head in the match, and he tore his MCL and his knee in that match. Another kid who would have been great for us last year, but Logan Reith stepped in, rode that thing all the way down to a medal at state. Like, that's a fun thing to see as a coach, as a kid who did it the right way, never was selfish, never quit because I'm not the varsity starter, rode it all the way to a fifth place medal down at state. That's a fun thing to do, and something you can highlight as a team to say, like, look, stick with it. This is, you never know when your chance is going to come. Hated it for Ford, because, man, that kid was good. You know, Haas is a good wrestler. He was a state medalist the year before that. Just missed going to state last year, I think, but he was a real deal. We have a strong incoming freshman class. I think we're going to have 10, maybe 12 kids from the freshman class that come out for wrestling. That's going to include a couple of freshmen with multiple youth state appearances. Trenton Knoyer, somewhere down in the 1-13-ish range, maybe. Luke's last name or first name, I can't think of off the top of my head at the moment. I coached him in football, so he's gonna be mad at me. But he took fifth this last year down Carter Luke. He took fifth up this last year down at youth state, so he's a good kid. There's multiple other kids that have gone to youth state down there. Even our last year, our biggest hole was we were inexperienced down low. So all of the kids that we had coming back, we only graduated, somewhere between 2 and 4. We had one kid quit, one kid get hurt. So we only lost 2 starters to graduation. We replaced them with 10 kids, 2 seniors who came back out. Like, this team is going to be fun to coach. Like, I am super excited for this. Even a kid like Cole Martin at 220, you know, he beat Bryce Thiel last year by a point. He's another kid. He just didn't wrestle well at sectionals, but the kid wrestles year round. He's actually the reason we have some ties to Shioctin through him. We could have quite a few kids that if it hits right and they're hot at the right time, that they can make runs down individual state. And that's what's going to be fun. Logan Glenicki stuck, his last name was like Appleby or something like that. He's from maybe a Tri-County area or something like that. He pinned him in a tournament when he was a JV wrestler, stuck him in a chest crusher and pinned him. Like, he was Glenicki was a JV kid for us even last year as a junior. He's another kid that if he finds his way in the roster, I want to see their stories end the right way. And I think, like, every time I talk wrestling, like even right now when I'm talking about this upcoming season, I'm so excited for this group of seniors. Just to see them get the chance to finish it. It's going to be a fun group. I think you're going to see some names and you're going to see Strapper. You think, okay, the kid's going to be pretty good, but I've never heard of this kid before. And you're going to see him come out and you'll be impressed that they're all unique. They all have their own move sets, but they do some things that are pretty neat. Logan Dahlke's another kid in that he missed weight last year at sectionals. Like, you want to talk about frustrations as a coach, like that's hard, but he's owned up to it. He's excited about this upcoming season as a senior, wants to do it the right way. Sky's the limit for some of these kids. They all have the tools. It's now just a matter of, can we stay healthy? Are we going to be able to spread them out right with their weights? Like, skinfold is going to be an intense thing for us, because as we get, those results start to come in, like, how are we going to separate? Where are all of our weights? Because if you ever ask a wrestler in the offseason, what's your weight? They're guessing, and half of them don't actually know. And if they do know, they're not going to tell you the real answer. Eli Lucio last week told me he weighed 175. This week he told me he weighed 164. So I have no idea what the truth is, but it's in there somewhere. Obviously we're excited. We can't wait to see what the year brings us. Coach Strong was on with you guys last week. We open our season with him. He's excited about his team. He thinks he's got a good, solid core of people. We wrestle some sweet showdowns throughout the season. If anybody wants to watch some really cool high school wrestling, Stratford's going to offer you a couple chances to do that. Not only like the big tournaments like Bi-State, but we also wrestle a quad in like Friday, January 14th in Stratford's gymnasium. Will be Stratford, obviously. Fenimore is coming up, Holman, and Marshfield. So that is going to be a pretty packed evening and some really, really intense wrestling. But that's the kind of, those are the kind of nights that we live for, I think. Like, let's see how many people we can fit into a gym at one time to watch 4 really good programs throw down on the wrestling mat. And, as long as everybody walks out of that thing happy and healthy, I'll be a pretty happy guy. But if you can't get up for that kind of excitement, I don't know what's going to get you there, because that's the kind of matches that, I'm excited for as a coach.
Wow. You just made me, I think this happens every time we were going, you just made me so excited for wrestling season, that's even right. More so than I already am.
I wrote that date down, Teague. Why not to make another trip?
The Stratford. Yeah. Steve and I are trying to get a broadcasting itinerary put together, whether we're invited or not.
that is a good one, especially with the Holman tie that you have. And if you want to see some, and that's some Division I and some Division III. Fenimore beat us head to head last year in a duel. And that's a pretty big rivalry for us too, going back to some team state matches. And, when we went down there last year with the COVID thing, like, that was a weird decision to make. Let's travel 3.5 hours for a dual meet on a Friday night or whatever it was. And then, we get done with the match and they beat us, but the coaches come up and said, "Hey, thank you so much for coming down. We love this. It was great. Tell you what, next year we'll come to you." And I don't know who the 4th team normally was in that quad, but that quad's been kind of traveling between these schools for a little while, but it landed back on us. And the 4th team pulled out, and I immediately went to RAD and said, "Hey, call Fenimore." They said they would come up and wrestle us. And if they're going to travel this far, let's come up for that. Like, if you don't want to come up and wrestle us, Holman and Marshfield, like, why bother making the trip at all? And within 2 hours, their coach was like, "Yep, we're in, we're on our, we'll be there. Give us the date."
Love it.
So we're super pumped. That's going to be a fun night.
I really liked you hit on like your depth so well. I think when I think of next man up mentality, Stratford is one of the first schools that comes to mind. And I always think of bye state. There was a couple year stretch where like one starter would get hurt from Stratford a year, and it would be 1 year Kaufman got hurt and his replacement was Trevor Denny as a freshman. And of course that guy ended up being pretty decent. Another story, we brought up Rafe right away. I think I saw his first ever varsity match, like being like in the varsity lineup, and it was at Bi-State. It was either in the round of 32 or the round of 16. He wasn't seated. He was going up against Drake Shams from Holman, who ended up placing fifth or sixth. And Rafe was winning like midway through the match. And I think experience just took over a little bit. Drake ended up winning that match, but it's just that mentality of, all right, you're in the varsity lineup. I don't care what tournament it is, who you're going against, like just show them what you have as an individual. And yeah, you guys have a great system over there right now.
You know, Rafe is like stupid levels of athletic. When that kid is on and bringing it, he is really tough to stop. So that doesn't shock me in the slightest that he could go out there and push a kid who's much better thought of. You know, you bring up, you know, first time varsity matches, and I tell the story all the time, and it embarrasses him every time, I think. But Ryan Becker, who again was basically a backup for most of the year, his first varsity match last year, I think it was over Christmas break. I know it was against Amherst in our gym. And I went to Logan Glinicki, who's the same, who's a year older than him. He was our backup. But I was like, if we are up in this match, I'm going to send Becker out there for a varsity match. It was a freshman from Amherst. And I was like, you know what? We got to get this kid on the match and get him a varsity, get him some varsity experience. And when I told Ryan Becker, hey, you're on deck, let's go get hot. I think his skin was the same color as the white wall that was behind him. And he probably had to go change his shorts at that point in time. He was so nervous. Is this kid good, coach? Like, is this kid like upperclassman? Like, what am I going to do? And I was like, Becker, you'll be all right. Go out there. And it was a freshman. He pinned him in the first period. And he comes off the mat like, coach, the kid was a freshman. You could have told me that. And I was like, that would not have been any fun. And from you know that moment on, once he knew that, like, you have that trust, buddy, I'm going to put you out there on the mat to do things. And the fact that at the end of the year, as an undersized sophomore, you went up two weight classes, took a varsity spot, and ran it all the way to sectionals. That was impressive. So, it's that mentality of, you know, you got to go after it, go get it. Your coach is putting you in a position to succeed, not to get thumped by some kid, and, you know, build that confidence. And I think that's a good, you know, it's a good message for teams if they can, like, it, you know, not everybody has the depth to be able to sit kids until they're ready and pick your spots. But if you can put kids out there to have success early, I really think it does great things. Because if we had put him out there against some state qualifier and he gets throttled, does Ryan Becker become a sectional qualifier last year? You know, I don't know. He works super hard, but we picked a good spot. We got him on the mat and he ran with it. And, you know, he's a kid that I'm super proud of regardless of what happens because of the kid he's becoming in this program.
I always love hearing those stories. And I know Adam gave the disclaimer beforehand, but for those of you hopping back on the podcast after taking your water break during that last part, we do have our team predictions coming up. All right, I'm first here.
And pick the upset.
I'll be honest, Adam, you did make a pretty good case for Auburndale, but I do, I do have to lean it towards Stratford, I guess. Not lean. Much.
What do you mean, not lean?
I'm picking Stratford. Okay.
All right. Me too. Let's go on. Come on.
I just want to say, just the way you talked about all the teams in this regional, Adam, like that was awesome. That was, I like forgot for a second that you were like coaching a team in this regional, because just the way you spoke so highly about all these other teams, yep, and their history and their tradition, That was absolute gold. So thank you for that.
Great job. Hey,
go ahead. That's what it's all about, though. So yeah, I coach here at Stratford, but at the end of the day, wrestling is a community thing. Wrestling, like the state of Wisconsin, you know, I'm pumped anytime that we have success. You look at what some of our teams do when they go to tournaments in the summer, and they rep well and they score well, and that's awesome. You know, let more of that. Team USA does great. We're all pulling for things together, and you know. Yeah, sure. Do I want Stratford to win? Absolutely. I'm the head coach here. But at the same time, seeing good wrestling and quality wrestlers is fun. Watching good matches is more fun than watching shutouts. So I absolutely want to see the Marrowwood Conference, the kids in this area, the kids in our regional, be better, be good, keep working. It's fun when you get good wrestling.
Perfectly put.
Teague, You ready for the last regional? Here we go. I was going to do it before, but I think I went a different route today. If you get this, Teague, you've just reached God type status. God or whatever. Well, I can't remember. You're going to do really good. All right, you ready? So for a long time, Stratford and Coleman have been the two representatives out of this sectional at Team State, right? It's either been Coleman or Stratford. What is the last year it was not Stratford or Coleman that represented this sectional at Team State, and who was it?
So I know Coleman or Stratford. I gotta go way back because Coleman had the three-peat in 2010 to 2012. And it's before that because it was Coleman or Stratford after that. So going back before 2010, I'd want to say it's like Wyawega or Edgar or something that made it as a team, but year wise, I'm 2007. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to switch to 2002.
Dude, you should have stuck to 2007. You had it.
No. How did you way. Even know?
So close.
It was 2007. Now, can you guess the team? Here's the tough one. I'll give you a hint. It didn't even happen in the team sectional. This team beat them. I'm assuming. I'm just kind of going. I did not find the exact regional, but I believe this team beat them at the regional.
They beat Coleman or Stratford at the regional?
Coleman, yep. It's got to be Coleman. I'm assuming just geography wise, it's got to be
would
Coleman.
Would it be Bonduelle?
No, it was. If you remember our podcast where we had Coach Casper on, he talked about the last team to beat them, and it was Peshtigo.
Peshtigo. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought Peshtigo was the conference loss.
Well, it was conference, but I'm assuming it must have been regional as well. That's when they had. Mac Dries, Mac Dura. I mean, they had some tough. I'm looking back at some of these names. I remember these names. So, yeah, pretty good squad there.
Yeah, I do watch. I follow a company pretty closely, and they have like a trivia thing on YouTube. And I think what just happened to me was I lost to the person asking the question there because I kind of like you had like a reaction. And I was like, oh, he didn't. I don't like his reaction there, and I changed it and. Yeah. I'm not happy.
You know what? I'll give you credit for it. Even for you to say 2007, that's impressive.
So. Lord. All right. last regional. Actually, okay. I'm sorry. Before we move on to the last regional, we were talking about Edgar and Luke Nowak from Edgar. And I thought it was a guy from Iowa Grant Highland. I did a little research, quick track search. There is a guy from Luke Nowak who was a state champion from Iowa Grant Highland. And he was a state champ in 2014. Wow. His senior year, I think I know why the name was familiar. The road led back to the D3 170 bracket that I was originally looking at with Devin Lemansky in it. So, yeah, nice. Double Luke Nowaks. Just had to, yeah. I don't know who cares, but like I just had to like tie off that loose end.
That's pretty cool.
All right. So last regional we have here is the Shiocton regional. First team up is Almond Bancroft Pacelli. They were sixth in the Amherst regional with 7 points. They do have their lone starter, David Curtin, coming back, who placed fourth.
You know, I'm pretty sure we duel this team this year. I have to check my records to be sure, but I think we're going to see them at a quad in January. So I always love when you get to face a new team just because you get to see like, you know, what is this team kind of all about? What's kind of their style? Obviously like Almond Bancroft Pacelli is a pretty small program kind of from what I've gathered, but I'm excited to see like, you know, a new team again this year. I like wrestling new people, like meeting new coaches, seeing new wrestlers. So I'm excited to really see them for the first time this season.
Next team up is Lord's Academy Valley Christian, who another team where they're moving sectional. I'm pretty sure this sectional has teams from every sectional from last year. You have like the Stratford and Edgar gang from last year, Pittsville from the Southwest, and Lord's Academy coming from the Southeast sectional. They placed seventh in the Oakfield regional with 53 points, returning to two of their starters. One of their starters did make the podium at state. They had Mason Carpenter, who placed fifth at 106. Right, moving on to Manawa here. They were the runner-ups in the Amherst Regional with 167.5 points. From their seven starters last year, they are returning. They have one lone starter coming back. That is Bryce Bartle, who plays fifth at sectionals. Real quick note on Manawa. Placed second with 167.5. Of their seven starters last year, they all took first place at the regional.
It was crazy. I kept seeing like dual results last year, and Manawa would score super well despite their numbers. I kept thinking, like, man, I really wish I got the dual Manawa last year. It would have been fun. Like, yeah, they don't have the greatest of numbers on the team last year, but they had quality kids. All their kids were good. It would have been interesting just to get to see that. I wish we'd have wrestled them last year. Like you said, they're only returning one of the seven. So it's, you know, that's kind of rough, but, it would have been fun to wrestle that team last year just to get to see kind of quality kids in all of their spots. It's something you just hang your hat on. You know, you'd like to think if you've only got a few kids in your room and every kid you're getting to work with, you know, coaches way more often or experienced wrestlers way more often, that's something that you should get better results from. So clearly they had something, right?
And Brad Johnson's the coach down there at Manawa. Great guy. We had him on the podcast last year. Teague, you remember this. I mean, we got done and it was, our sides were hurting. He's a pretty funny dude. He's pretty.
Steve, I think you're his arch nemesis. I think you're the villain in Brad Johnson's life story.
But with all that being said, he, just a great guy. So.
No, that I'm laughing thinking about that recording last year.
I kept bringing up facts and statistics, and every one of them was somehow was negative towards Brad Johnson's wrestling career. I'd bring up a guy, oh yeah, United Nation. Then he's like, Steve, that guy beat this guy, and then I'm bringing up a guy from Okano, and Brad lost to him in the state final. I mean, everything that I talked, I pretty soon stopped giving any form of statistic or historic reference to wrestling because. It negatively affected Brad Johnson in some way.
For one night and one night only, you became an internet troll. Hey, good work on that one, Steve.
I just shut up. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Oh man, that's great. Might go back and listen to the uncut version of that again tonight. All right, next team up here is Rosholt, who was fourth in the Amherst Regional with 95 points. They return three of their starters, and they'll be led by sectional place winner Blake Pesky. We're moving on to Shiocton, who was the runner-ups in the Lena Regional with 214.5 points. From that team, they return nine of their 13 starters. They do lose Jericho Helzer, who placed fourth at state at 126, but they are returning Dylan Larson, who was a state qualifier at 195. And a couple of third place sectional finishers in Dion Helzer and Hunter Shu.
We get to dual Shiocton. Actually, I think it's a quad with, I think this is where we see Almond, Bancroft, Michelli, or whoever it is. And Mark Azan is there as well. So Mark Azan's coach is the guy I know from when I was at Mayville, my first year as a head coach. And we have a tie somehow with Shiocton. Cole Martin, who's a senior here, one of his family members wrestled with one of Shiocton's assistant coaches at Point or something along those lines. So like every 3 days last year, Cole Martin is coming up and be like, hey, if we ever need a duel, Shiocton will wrestle anybody. Just schedule Shiocton. And last year with a limited schedule, it never worked out. But this year we were able to get something put together. So we're super excited to go wrestling in Shiocton. But you know, they've got some really good kids, with, you know, Larson and Helzer and Schill that they have coming back. Like this team has some good kids to it. So we're excited to get to, mix up with them. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I think with some of our kids, you know, if we get like Rafe against Larson, if they're still both 95s, it'd be some good matches to watch, for a duel in the middle of January.
Moving on to Tri-County, who I don't have much information on. They did not wrestle at regionals last year. So if someone wants to message us or anything, get us more information on them, just feel free to reach out. Hopefully they got a couple of guys at least on a team this year. And the last team we have in this sectional preview is Wyawega Fremont, who was third in the Amherst Regional with 162 points. They return six of their starters and 78 points. They do lose Ben Strelo, who plays third at 182. But they have a few sectional qualifiers coming back in Isaiah Hsu, Ethan Lamoureux, and Cody Steinbach.
I must have lost a coin flip somewhere, or Stratford must have lost a coin flip with Wyawega, because we played them in football, so we traveled there for that. And then before I even knew that we played them in football, because I guess I don't pay attention that well to the football schedule, they used to host a tournament that we would go to while their tournament folded. But their coach was like, hey, we'd still really like to duel you guys if possible. So I agreed to go down there and travel to Wyawega Fremont a second time this year. So this football apparently wasn't enough for a wrestling match. So we get to duel Wyawega this year. And, you know, sure, they lost Strelo, but they have some really good kids coming back, and they always have numbers. So we're excited to go down there, because, you know, it's one of those schools where you wrestle them. They have history. They have kids out. So you know your kids are going to get on the mat. Which is just huge. Anytime, like, nobody wants to go to a gym where seven kids wrestle and seven kids take forfeits. So we're super excited to go down and wrestle Wyawega. I think their coach is supposed to be trying to find us a third team to make that one into a try. I haven't heard back on that one in like a month, but we're going to try to extend that one a little bit to see if we can make it a little more worth our while, not just one team with two. I do love the way the schedule now works with 14 event days. Mm-hmm. You can just basically make your matches. That is sweet. Yep. Even before that was a for sure thing, the Marywood Conference voted to go to tries and quads for all of our conference matches. So it works super well. It's fun to schedule now as a coach, because you have so much flexibility. And even if you have a kid like ends up on the backside at Bi-State and gets like eight matches, just sit him a couple of times throughout the year and you can make it all work. So I love the way the schedule works this year. I think it's going to be super fun because it gives us so much more flexibility to get more teams, more matchups that we want. I can't play spoiler yet because nothing is official, but we're currently working on another pretty big headlining match for our opener with Glenwood, trying to make it a try. So I'm hoping it works out, but nothing is official yet. So I can't give it away, but I'm pretty excited because I love that kind of flexibility to get those matches that you want to see.
If you're going to Wyawega, you guys are going to become really familiar with Highway 10 then.
Yeah, it's not a real exciting drive to Wyawega, but it's not bad.
All right, last regional prediction here. Sad donkey.
Oh, that's me. I don't have a lot to analyze with it. It's a team that's I don't want to say up and coming. They've been a solid team for a time now, and I am hoping, right? I mean, I like better teams all over. Ready to make that next step. So I'm going with Shockton.
Yeah, I was also going to go with Shockton. So I don't know how much I have to add. I mean, it looks like they have a great team coming in this year. Coach, you talked about them pretty well as well. If there was a team to be a threat, maybe it would be Wyawega. If they get have some solid freshmen coming in, get a full roster, but yeah, it's hard to argue against Shockton in this. So I also,
you know, what's interesting there is, so we made the decision to duel Shockton this year. So if, let's say, we would win our regional and Shockton would win their regional, we would get to duel them again later in the year. So I guess round two, but, you know, wrestling good teams is fun. So, you know, I guess we might get to see them twice if your predictions come true.
Well, Adam, thanks for setting up that segue, because segues are not my strong suit. So speaking of that potential rematch, we do have our team sectional predictions coming up here.
Let's rock all the way through. Here we go.
One coin flip, picks go all the way through.
There you go. You're up.
Oh, man. Okay. So I have Coleman versus Lena first. I just think it's Coleman's match to lose in that one. So I have them moving on. Could be a good building block for Lena to see how they do against Coleman. And just one of those things, whatever the score is, set a goal to make it closer or beat them the next year. And then Stratford Shockton, think it's a little bit of the same thing where I would definitely favor Stratford in this one, but Shockton, it'd be interesting to see if they can keep it close or again, even just use this match as a building block for a team that's obviously getting stronger year by year. So then that brings me to Coleman versus Stratford. And coach, you made a great argument for your team and you have a lot of good people coming in. It's I hate to do this. I'm gonna go with Coleman, but I think we can all agree that if that matchup comes to fruition, that it's gonna be a coin. It's gonna come down to a coin flip. Who can start where? And yeah, I'm gonna take Coleman.
Let's just cut to the chase here, right? Let's talk about what we all know, and that's Stratford versus Coleman. And I agree exactly 100% what you said with Shacht and Lena. Lena, I think that'd be their first ever regional championship, if I remember right. So that's a huge building block, and they want to take on that challenge. They want to go take on Coleman and wrestle him and just go after it. Same thing with Shacton. Go after it, right? Go give him everything you got, because there's always a chance, right? But Stratford, Coleman, and here's the deal. I knew who I was going to pick beforehand, and it came down to this. Teague, you know, I start to go down to – and I look at it all, right? Stratford has 11 coming back, 11 starters coming back, 7 sectional qualifiers. But I looked at, or I'm sorry, 7 sectional qualifiers, 3 state qualifiers, right? Here's Coleman, 11 sectional qualifiers. What really started tilting me towards Coleman was they had 10 sectional qualifiers and then 2 state champs. And then 2 guys that took third that in any other year, they would have been state qualifiers, right? So they'd have 4 state qualifiers. But here's what really started to, and I started analyzing the numbers. Stratford had 7 sectional qualifiers, but they also had a cadet in their regional, right? So some of the Coleman didn't have a cadet in their regional. And then I was kind of analyzing that back and forth. And then I started taking a look at numbers coming back on their whole program. One program has 17 returners, 10 through 12. This is not including freshmen. And another program had 22 returners. Once again, not including freshmen. I have no idea other than what coach told me they have coming in. I have no idea what Coleman has coming in, right? So here's my pick. Based off of having more returners coming back overall to fill those gaps, right? And that is the Tigers of Stratford making their 10th trip to Team State. Getting in double digits.
All right, so Steve,
I love the vote of confidence there, Steve. Much appreciated. I do have to also apologize for last year, because on last year's team sectional prediction, you guys both took us to come out against everything we had. I mean, Cadet was there, Boyceville had a really good team. Plus, you add to that St. Croix Falls, and you both took Stratford to advance, and we let you down a little bit. So, Steve, hopefully this time we can make you look like a genius, and we can make Teague look like the bad guy.
I laugh every time I think about that podcast, too, because we both picked Stratford, and we had the Cadet and St. Croix Falls coaches on, like the two other teams that people could have reasonably picked in that sectional, and it's just one of those things. Like, I try to like stick to my guns, and I mean, I don't know. I don't need to explain myself. I gave you good bulletin board material.
And coach had a negative against him too, is because you'd think this would be a positive. I actually don't like being, if you use the term homer, I know it's not the right term, but I don't hate it, but I always, you're only picking that team because the coach is sitting right in front of you. So I try to look and go, gosh, how can I pick the other team so that people don't look and say, you're picking him because he's sitting there looking at you. But I did. I studied the info and I took a look at it and I said, man, even coming in here. And then I even thought, well, if Teague picks Stratford, I'm going to pick Coleman just so I have a different one. But I said, nope, based on what I told you, I said, even with coach sitting right in front of me, I'm picking Stratford.
You know, and honestly, I don't think there's a wrong pick. Hats off to Coleman. They have a dandy of a program. Coach Casper has things going super hard there. Those kids are tough. They wrestle tough for 6 minutes every match. I think, honestly, their team wins that team sectional and goes down to Team State is going to be a handful for any other team in the state to deal with. I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer. Obviously, go Tigers all day, every day. But, Coleman is good. Then there's nothing, there's nothing you can do about that. Coleman has an amazing team, great coaching staff. They're great guys. We look forward to it. It'll be one of those matches where, if you're not bored, if you want to make a trip to Surrey and Gillett, that would be another night for you to make a trip up there and you could watch it in person.
You brought up the regional sectional thing last year. I did want to bring up, like, this is why I would never want to work in the WIAA, Like, I love how the alignments worked out where Stratford and Coleman were in opposite sectionals. And for years, people were saying like, oh, this team sectional match is something we should be seeing like at the field house. And then the 2 years they're in opposite sectionals, the dream matchup doesn't happen. I feel like people at the WIA were just like, man, what could the break get any worse in that sense?
You know, but shout out to Kadat there. Like, Coach Spaeth is, first of all, great guy, great coach all the way around. Utmost respect for him. But, man, as hard as it was for us to not win sectionals and to go to Team State last year, there was still something satisfying with the Kadat fans, like, literally coming up to me and, like, shaking hands. And we finally got over the hump. We finally beat you guys. And they weren't rubbing it in my face. They weren't doing it to be malicious. But they were super happy and super proud of their kids. For showing up at sectionals and getting a job done and getting into Team State. And, you know, as much as I hate losing, you know, at least they got to enjoy that and they got to go have fun with it. And you get hats off to Spaeth and all the guys at Kadat. It's a heck of a program, heck of a great coach. Hopefully, if we get a chance this year to see him anywhere, we can try to avenge that a little bit. But it was good to see. And it was, you know, great fans, classy fans. It was great interactions. We had some, like, regionals. Again, it was us and Kadat in a lot of the finals, and we had a bunch of tangos where, you know, Coach Spaeth and I just basically stayed in our chairs for long periods of time yelling at each other. But it was great. Loved it. Looking forward to more of that kind of stuff this year. But, you know, great guys.
I think that not only speaks to like how great their community is, but just how good and well respected your program is too, that people were coming up to you saying they were like proud of that moment. So that's one of those stories that's awesome to hear.
You know, a couple of other fans use the phrase, we got over the Stratford hump. And I just, you know, and again, not to toot the horn of Stratford, and, you know, Joe Schlabi and all of the coaches that have come before me, but, you know, to be a team that some people use as a measuring stick, that's something that's kind of an honor and something that, you know, we don't take lightly here. You know, we don't surprise people when we walk in the gym. We're not a dark horse pick at regionals for a lot of people. If people see the Stratford logo and they know who we are. And, you know, part of that is just owning up to that and understanding you're going to get every team's best shot. And last year at sectionals, you know, both St. Croix Falls beat us and Kadat beat us and won it. So we got their best shot. We weren't up to it. They were. Hats off to them, and on to the next one.
Yeah, again, perfectly put. Coach, you did a great job on this tonight. And just want to thank you again for coming on. You had a lot of great insight on not just your program, but a lot of the programs in this sectional. And it's always good to hear, you know, coaches just talk about other programs and just coaches who have passion for wrestling being in the spot they are. So thank you not only for being on the podcast, but just for doing everything you do for the wrestling community in general.
Yeah, you bet you. And thanks to you guys too. Again, this podcast is great. The attention is great. Wisconsin wrestling, I feel like, this is something we've talked about a lot over the last couple of years. Wisconsin wrestling is getting better. Like you look at the talent down at State, and there are legit national kids wrestling it down at Madison in multiple weight classes year in and year out. And I think a lot of it has to do with stuff like this, getting the word out, getting kids excited, getting them on the mat and trying it. And, you know, let's not be done with that. Let's keep it going. You know, let's make Wisconsin wrestling into one of the premier wrestling states in the country. And I think that's doable. Sure, we don't have a big population, but we've got some passionate kids. We have some great coaches. Just band it together as a community and, you know, let's do this thing. We're all pulling together.
Absolutely.
Steve, got any final thoughts?
You nailed it. I don't know if you guys saw on the message, and halfway through, I'm like, Adam, you're doing awesome. So you did fantastic. You're well prepared and very articulate and exactly what Teague said. I think the other coaches are going to be happy and proud of what you did and how you represented their sectional.
Thank you. And I'm hoping so. You know, I want to represent Stratford, want to represent Wisconsin wrestling, I want the best for everybody. And, you know, everyone's excited about this year. Like, I think after the COVID year, just everybody is so looking forward to a year where hopefully it's more normal, where we're not wondering, are we going to get shut down tomorrow? Is State even going to be a thing? Like, 50 matches, 14 events. Let's go, line them up, shake hands. Let's wrestle for 3 months and let's see where this thing falls. And I think that's, you know, you take it for granted sometimes. And I think after the last year that we had, last 2 years, really, it's time to get back to doing it the regular way. And the excitement in the wrestling community, certainly here, the excitement in Stratford is like palpable. You can see it, you can feel it. I have people coming up to me, texting me, emailing me about stuff all the time. We're pumped. We're ready to go. We can't wait. And I'm hoping that's a statewide feeling right now.
Yeah. Last thing I got is just, for those of you who are listening to this on the 21st, next week we have Division One sectional E&F previews coming out. For those of you listening for the D3 crowd, our next D3 preview comes out two Thursdays from now, where we preview Sectional C, the Southwest. But until then, catch you on the flip side.